Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast episode on what you can master to increase your influence at home. And, you know, that's one of those things that intuitively we probably know if we stop and think about it. But like anything, if we aren't intentional about stopping to think about it, it's easy to let this concept pass us by, and therefore we miss out on influence at home. And when I say influence at home, I'm really think of that in terms of influence in our personal relationships. So influence with our spouse, influence with our children, our close friends, those extended family relationships, influencing those people, right? Those people who our heart is closer to. And yet for some reason, sometimes it's more difficult to influence those people. But here's why. Those people see you during the bad times and the good times, right? It's ironic, but sometimes the people we love the most see the worst in us because they see us through the good times and the bad times, the tough times, the sick times, the I've got the flu times, the I'm dead broke times. And they also see us on top of the mountain as well, of course. There's some great mountaintop moments with our personal close relationships. But those are also the people that your heart is close to, and because you spend a lot of time with them, you're doing life with them, they're going to see you sometimes when it's not a great time. Versus when we're doing work, we tend to put on a little bit more of a mask, and we tend to be a little bit, not always, but we tend to be a little more restrained with our emotions in a professional environment. And we know that, right? We just tend to put on that mask over our emotions, and we don't just let who we are inside just kind of blow up on everybody around us to some degree. Some people do, right? But those people aren't getting very far in their professional life. Well, for some reason, most of us get that more naturally at work. Not everybody, but most of us. But then when it gets to those relationships at home, we do tend to just let who we are inside just blow up on the people around us at home, our kids, our spouse, you know. There again, sometimes they see us in stressful situations, and who we are on the inside is going to come out when we're under stress, when we're under pressure, when we're in pain. Who we are on the inside is what people are going to experience on the outside. So counterintuitively, sometimes we're not as nice to the people we love and live with as we are to the people we work with. So mastering this concept, I call this the control of self, and it's the first step on the ladder of influence. Because we all have, I love the concept of the inner two-year-old, and I don't remember, I think I first heard that concept, maybe reading one of James Hunter's books, where he talks about we all have a two-year-old, right? And we all heard the cliche about terrible twos. But all of us, regardless of what age we are, emotionally, there's a piece inside us that is still 2 years old. And humans have a natural tendency to want to respond to what's going on around them and what's happening in the world around them based on their emotions of the moment. That's natural. That's normal. But it usually doesn't serve us very well. So like when, for example, when you were quite literally 3 years old, something might not go your way. Somebody might not give you a toy that you wanted, and you could pitch a fit by laying on the floor and throwing a temper tantrum. And because that was you at your very natural human self expressing frustration, anger, disappointment because something didn't go your way. Well, you can get away with that to some degree when you're 2 or 3. But as you get older, that really doesn't work very well, figuratively or literally. So a lot of times what happens is something goes wrong in our circumstances or our life, and we pitch the emotional adult equivalent of a temper tantrum, and then we wonder why we lose influence with the people around us. You can get away with that behavior at 2 or 3, but probably not very much at 30 if you want to increase your influence. I love Stephen Covey's quote that says, "When something happens, humans have the freedom to pause and choose their response." And I know I've said that over and over on this podcast, but it's such a powerful concept because it means that nobody else or nothing else can make you have a bad day or a bad week or a bad life. There is so much power and freedom in that concept. You just have to A, choose to do it, decide to do it, and B, act on doing it, right? Deciding you want the emotional freedom from the drama of the external world is one thing, but you have to take action on this concept. This principle is not something that you can just think, oh, that sounds nice and it's going to be nice. It's something you're going to have to work at. And we all have to work at it. And we all always will have to work at it. But here's the deal. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. So it's a little bit steeper of a climb on the front end, but it does, the grade maybe levels out as you climb a little bit higher. So the choices that we make mentally and physically in response to what happens to us are critical because they are impacting our situation either positively or negatively, short term or long term. And when you choose the right response based on your values and what serves you best, instead of choosing response based on the emotions of the moment, you can increase your influence. Now, I say all of that and I realize that that is much, much, much easier to say than it is to do. Because, I mean, the scenario could be anything from a customer, an irate, mad customer comes in at work and starts blaming you for something on the job that wasn't even your fault. And your natural 2-year-old response is to get mad and start yelling back and say, "Listen, lady, it was not my fault that this happened." That's your natural human emotion. But if you act on that emotion and start yelling back, you're losing influence at work, with your boss, with your coworkers, and certainly with the customer. So if we use that same analogy at home, a lot of times what that looks like is you've had a bad day at work. Something went wrong. Something, maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was something that you didn't directly cause, but it just was, for whatever reason, was a bad day at work. And so you go home and you're frustrated emotionally. You're stressed. You're thinking, well, what if I lose my job over this? Whatever. That stress is just inside you and you're blowing up and you're boiling and you walk in and the first thing you say to your 12-year-old daughter is you snap at her for why she, what, hasn't cleaned her room, maybe. And maybe she needs to clean her room. That's not the point. It's how you act in that moment when you let those emotions just, and maybe they're normal emotions, but when you let those emotions just boil up and blow over around the people, onto the people around you, it's costing you influence. And because your 12-year-old daughter might not understand that you had a bad day, all she understands is the person that's supposed to be helping her and care about her and loving her. I mean, we tell our kids that we love them, right? And you come home and you blow up at them and lose your temper because you had a bad day. You're basically blaming, or you're extending the blame for your emotions to the circumstances at home that didn't even cause why you're mad to begin with. So here again, this is it's a little bit of a deeper concept, right? Because it's powerful. The more we realize that regardless of what happens, we have the emotional freedom to choose a positive response. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean you're going to like it any better. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But what it means is that you don't have to let it ruin your relationships. You don't have to let it ruin your day. You don't have to let it ruin your next 5 minutes. It's recognizing that the emotion is there. Acknowledge it. But don't let it determine your actions and your words and your behaviors and emotions. So, you know, this applies in so many different ways, but a couple that really come to mind when we're talking about increasing our influence at home in our personal relationships, there again, you had a bad day and you come home and you just blow up at your kids or your spouse. Maybe they just looked at you cross-eyed and you didn't like it, but it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back and you just let it go. And then later you think, man, that was not how I should have handled that, right? It's Andy Stanley who reminds us our feelings can be terrible leaders. We've all gotten it wrong and we've all gotten it right. The key is realizing that we can control ourselves. And when we do, we climb higher on the ladder of influence. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. It's not about being perfect. And when we do make a mistake, we have to take responsibility for that and own it and learn how to improve in the future. So the interesting thing is that the choices that we make, a lot of times we think our choices are very personal or private, but the choices that we make are determining our influence with other people. So control of self could apply in any dimension of life. It can be relevant in the physical dimension, our health choices, our space choices, environment. It's also relative in our head dimension, our mind, our emotional intelligence, personal growth. It's relevant to our spiritual or faith-based dimension and social relationship dimension. So, for example, the choices that we make can increase or decrease our influence. So let's use the example of somebody who likes things to be picked up. So maybe your spouse is the kind of person that they like, they're not a neat freak. They're not OCD. They just like a nice picked up environment at home with no clutter. They don't want extra sneakers laying around or piles of laundry on the couch waiting for, you know, somebody to fold them. They like things to just be look picked up and everything's got a place and everything is in its place. And if you come home and you drop your backpack from the day with your leftover lunch and, you know, you kick your gym shoes off and you throw them on the floor by the couch and you kind of just dump your stuff there and then you leave it until Saturday morning. And you know that your spouse likes this picked up environment. It doesn't have to be a completely, there again, maybe not an OCD neat freak, but just picked up. And you know that, and you know that about them, but for whatever reason, you chose to leave your backpack and your smelly gym shoes laying there for 3 days. I guarantee you that's costing you some influence. Now, it's important to think about relationships as in terms of deposits, and I've shared that concept a little bit before. Deposits into the relationship. If I know it's important to someone for their personal space in their home to be picked up, and I choose not to do it, I absolutely have the freedom to make that choice. But I also need to realize that it can be costing me some influence with them. Does not make that a bad choice unless you want to build your influence with them. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. See, the thing is, when we look at it in terms of influence, it's not that our actions and behaviors are bad in and of themselves. It's all relative to our values, the values of the person that we're trying to build influence with, and recognizing we can be intentional about it. So, for example, another way this plays out, for me, it is one of the things that's important to me is if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I'm not sure if I can do it, I don't commit to it. That is just one of the personal things that are important to me. It's a value that I very highly value, that when I say something, when I make a commitment, I honor it so that people know when I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm there. Now, yeah, everybody has situations where traffic hit or something unplanned, you know, and you're running a little bit behind. Life does get in the way, but we can do a whole nother podcast on that. But But what I've learned is that in order to minimize the chance of that happening, I leave the house an extra few minutes early. I check traffic to make sure that there aren't any traffic accidents. I plan ahead so that I build in a buffer of extra time. So I know if I have a 12:30 meeting, I am going to be there a few minutes early. So that's something that's very important to me. Now, because that's my value, when someone tells me, for example, hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and they don't call me tomorrow, that's a withdrawal in that relationship. I lose a little bit of trust in that person because they said they were going to do something and they didn't do it. Now, maybe there was a good reason. But it just means the reality is I'm going to trust that person a little bit less because they did not keep their commitment. Now, a lot of times people say they'll do something, and that's okay. It's just recognizing that if we want to climb higher on the ladder of influence, we have to be intentional about building trust. And if we make commitments and we don't keep them, the next time we say something, that person is going to be a lot less likely to depend on us because they know we have a track record of you can't depend on that person. They don't call when they say they're going to call. They don't show up when they say they're going to show up. Now, because that's something I value, I look for that. That's a measure of integrity with me that someone keeps commitments that they make, because that's a value. So if somebody wants to build influence with me and they set up a meeting, then they need to be there at that meeting. And yeah, of course, sometimes very occasionally life will get in the way, but most of the time we can be intentional about planning better and making sure that when we make a commitment, we can honor it. And sometimes that costs us. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we might have to scramble to get there. But I want to be known as the kind of person, when I say I'm going to do something, you can depend on it being done. So therefore, there again, somebody who doesn't honor their commitments loses influence with me. See, it's all relative in terms of influence with someone who's higher on the character ladder than you are. There are a lot of people out there who make commitments and don't keep them, but they're not building much trust and influence with people who really value the integrity of making a commitment and keeping it. And saying you'll do something and then saying, oh, I just forgot, simply tells that person that it wasn't important. It wasn't a priority. It wasn't important enough to them to make sure that they put it on the calendar or put it on a to-do list or however they remember things. If they need a reminder, then they should be responsible for their reminder, right? So you see how this all is relative, but most important, and number one thing that we can do to build our influence at home is master that control of self. Don't make commitments if you can't keep them, but also recognizing that you can't let the inner two-year-old dictate your responses in your personal relationships, because there are going to be days when you don't feel good. There are going to be days when you have a stressful day, when you have a stressful time at work, and maybe that looks like, hey, I need to go exercise, or I need to go read a book, or I need to go chill out in a bubble bath until I'm in a better headspace, and then can we sit down and talk? And that's okay, right? That's hitting your pause button and saying, you know what? I can't deal with this really proactively right now, but if I can't do the best thing, I can pause and take a step back until I can control these emotions. And that's okay. But losing our temper with other people, losing control of our emotional self or our environment or physical choices, any dimension of life where we lose control of ourselves, it can be costing us influence, especially with those personal relationships. Someone who doesn't value their health, for example, doesn't care if you smoke 10 packs of cigarettes a day, but if your significant other values healthy living, they may not expect you to make all the right choices. But if you're constantly smoking every time you're around them, they're going to start thinking that you don't share the same value of healthy living. And that's all right. It does come down to every individual should choose their values, and no one's going to share every single value. but it's realizing that relative to influence, your choices make or break you. The question isn't whether this is a right choice or a wrong choice. The question is, how are my choices impacting my influence? And that's something that only you can decide for yourself. Is this something that's holding me back? What's holding me back the most? And what do I need to change? Until next time.